like to first ask Vijay Prabhu and the very illustrious exemplary disciples of Srila Prabhupada within our movement. If you would like to speak a few words about whatever he would like to say to all of you before you all depart for your respective destinations.
In the Srimad Bhagavatam, there's one very nice verse. Satam prasangam mama virya sangbhadho bhavanti vidkarna vasaya makata tad yosanat aspa pavarga vartani shadhavachu bhakti anukramishyati. This means satam prasangam, this means devotees' association. That in the association of other devotees, devotees feel very happy in glorifying Krishna. Mama virya sangbhadho, describing the wonderful pastimes of Krishna. So during this wonderful festival going around Vrindavan, I've really experienced that. I'm sure all of us have experienced this, discussing the glories of Krishna in association of devotees and swimming together and joking together and hearing the wonderful Krishna katha from all the advanced devotees. Churning the nectar of Krishna consciousness. It's actually been a very uplifting experience for me. Satang basangang mama virya sangvado bhavanti vidkaran vasayana katha. That these glories of Krishna are very pleasing to the ear, karna, and to the heart, vid. Very pleasing to the ear and to the heart to hear about these glories of Krishna. Satang vasangam mama virya sangvato bhavanti vidkarana vasayana katha tad jochanat asvava varga vartmani sadharatir bhakti anukramishyati. And by this continuous hearing about Krishna, gradually one gains great faith in Krishna. Sadharatir bhakti anukramishyati. And then a taste, and eventually love for Krishna. So this is the result of associating with devotees, hearing about Krishna. And this is the, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Lord Chaitanya showed us how to associate with devotees. Krishna came and he told us to surrender, so Lord Chaitanya, he came and he showed us how to surrender. So I'm seeing here amongst all of you wonderful devotees how to live as a devotee. Just like so many times we hear this verse, Kanadapi Sunichena Taroa Pisa Histana Amanina Manidena Kirtandiya Sadahari. So such a nice mood just to get absorbed in this understanding of just being very, very humble. There was always one thing about this verse that puzzled me. And that is that one should be more tolerant than a tree. So I was thinking, well, if the tree could talk, then maybe it would complain. Right? The tree can't talk back, so it's not able to complain. So how is it tolerant? So I asked this question to Satsarup Maharaj some years back, and he gave a wonderful answer. He said, yes, the tree can't talk back, therefore we should be more tolerant than a tree because we can talk back if we want to. So therefore more tolerant than a tree because we can talk back, we can complain if we wanted to. But if we're actually humble, then we're not going to complain. Right? So therefore we should be more tolerant than a tree. More humble than a blade of grass. And this is a... such an important aspect of Krishna consciousness. Like Lord Chaitanya said, this verse should be worn around one's neck. It should always be remembered. And when Lord Balaram was on his tour And he came to this big meeting, and Roma Harsana Sutta was there, and he was the head speaker. He was there, and he didn't offer respects. Everybody else offered respects, but Roma Harsana Sutta. So Lord Balaram, he said the fault of Roma Harsana Sutta was that although he had great knowledge, he was vast, he had an incredible amount of jnana, but he said he wasn't humble. He wasn't gentle. So this is the problem with Roma Harsana Sutta. And then he went on about his past, about this and that. But this is the problem, that we could have, if we have jnana, but the humility and the gentleness that isn't there, then the result isn't there. So the result of Krishna consciousness is that we become gentle, we become humble, we become tolerant, and most of all, we think of Krishna, and we don't forget Krishna. Of all the rules, smartavyastaratam vishnur vishmartavyana jatuchit, that there's so many rules and regulations that we follow in Krishna consciousness, but the most important rule, the most important instruction, is that we should always remember Krishna and never forget Krishna. So this is the essence of Krishna consciousness, and this is what we're doing. This is enhancing our Krishna consciousness. To chant the holy name, to associate with devotees, take prasadam, go to the holy places. So this is very much enhancing our desire to serve Krishna. So I'm very thankful to all of you for getting your association, especially getting Radhanath Swami's association. When I hear Radhanath Swami, I hope you don't, please forgive me if I commit offenses for glorifying you. I know he's so humble. But when I hear Maharaj speak, I think this is how the devotees were in the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. You know, that they were so gentle and they were so Krishna conscious and they're glorifying one another and serving one another, and just a wonderful mood that Lord Chaitanya exhibited and the devotees exhibited in the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. So Radhanath Swami has certainly derived that mood by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. So I want to thank you very much for your association. And I'm sure I'm going to get much more. I'll be going to Bombay to get more mercy from the devotees there. Try to distribute some books in the city there. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
We have had with Dina Bandhu Prabhu. He has brought so much transcendental joy and enlightenment to us.
We all came here to hear about Krishna.
By his natural, spontaneous Braj Bhakti.
No need.
I have heard this before. Let us very, very enthusiastically express our gratitude to Dina Bandhu Prabhu, who spent practically 2 weeks, day and night, just trying to help us to become more and more Krishna conscious. Seems like throughout this whole trip, one theme keeps coming back. I don't think there was one verse quoted more than this one. Janarapi sunichana tarorapi sahishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadaha. Because this is the key to Krishna consciousness. Even one time,
our Kinchana Krishna's Babaji, he was staying in Radhakund. So these Babajis, they have so many arguments against us, either from Gaudiya Math or ISKCON, anyway. So they were challenging him, you have no Siddha Pranali. And the Kinchana Krishna says, no, I have the Siddha Pranali from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So all the Babajis in Radhakund were very surprised, they heard that this challenge came back from Krishnadas. So then many of them came, this rumor started going around, Krishnadas has got Siddha Pranali from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So they were curious to know what was his mantra. So one day many of them approached him. He said, yes, I have that special mantra from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chanarapi suni chanacharapi sahishana manina vanirina kirtaniya sada. This is the key. Just like, and actually no one has fully realized the import of this verse more than our beloved Srila Prabhupada. I had one older godbrother of mine named Mahaprabhu Das. He told me this story from 26 Second Avenue. That every day the devotees used to come and to Prabhupada's apartment there behind the storefront and take prasadam. A few devotees would come. This is old days. So one time Mahaprabhu Das, he somehow dawdled and stayed behind. He was relishing so much sitting there with Prabhupada, because Prabhupada would sit there and everybody would sit on two lines and they would serve out prasadam. And somehow he was just relishing sitting there with Prabhupada. He noticed everybody had gotten up and he was still sitting. He also noticed another thing, that there's all these dirty plates and pots and pans, and he began to think. He looked around the room. There's nobody else in the room. Only one other person was in the room. And usually he wasn't there. So he began to calculate, well, usually I'm not here, and there's only other possibility of a person who washes all these things every day. Because every day the cooking has to go on, so every day they must get cleaned, and there's nobody else around, and I'm usually not here. Somehow I'm here. I only see one other person who could possibly be doing this. So he walked over and he began to pick up the dirty pots and pans to go to the kitchen to wash them. And Prabhupada broke into one of his millions of suns rising in the sky smiles. And he said, oh, I was just praying to Krishna to send someone to please kindly help me. Now, unless you lived in America in the 60s, you can't understand what type of... I mean, you came from a completely different culture than us. I mean, we committed so much, we had absolutely no culture, anti-culture. We had no, zero. And we committed so many simple activities that, what is his name, Chitragupta, his computer melted down. He couldn't keep track. There wasn't any program, there wasn't any processor fast enough to calculate our karma. So for these types of persons, Prabhupada was cooking and cleaning up after them. Here was a pure, he could have stayed here in any Gaudiya Math. They all loved Prabhupada, Abhay Babu. They loved him very much. He sang such sweet kirtans. He could have stayed anywhere, had so many brahmacharis there. You see how nicely they're behaved in Gaudiya Math. He could have had dozens of brahmacharis cooking and cleaning and taking care of him. Not a thing to worry about. And he went to this most... New York City is the Kali Yuga ki Rajdhani. This is the capital of Kali Yuga. And there he was cooking and cleaning for some of the most degraded people on this planet. This is Nobody has realized the purport of Trinadapi Sunichi Natarodapi Sishna. We've heard so many, just like Vijaya Prabhu, he's described the three parts. Trin. Sometimes trin is translated as grass. But grass, he only does the knuckle of humility. He does false humility. When you step on the grass, then he goes down, very humble. But as soon as you walk away, after 2 seconds, he comes back up. But trin really means this straw on the street. He's always 24 hours a day doing his sastang pranam. This is trin. And as Bijaya was speaking, he was saying that Chaitanya Charitamrita says you should put this verse in a string and wear it around your neck. So a couple of years ago, one of my older around your neck. So a couple of years ago, one of my older god sisters, who was the wife of Surabhi, who designed and built this Krishna Balaram temple, and also your Juhu temple. So Kishoreji came here, she was sitting in Vrindakun, it was so peaceful place, so she began to remember so many pastimes. And then I saw that she had this verse tattooed around her neck. And she started telling the story about that. I said, yes. What happened was in the kitchen, she used to always cook for the deities and she cooked for Prabhupada. She was cooking in the kitchen and always she was getting in arguments with everyone. One time Prabhupada called her and said, what are you cooking for Krishna? What are you cooking for Krishna and Balaram? So she told him and Prabhupada said, this much rice. He's a young man. He said, you cook like he's a young man. This much rice. And she said, and samosas, and not one, two samosas. And whatever she said, Prabhupada kept doubling and doubling. So immediately, she went and she started cooking like that. So immediately the temple president, Akshayananda Maharaj, he became very upset. She had a big fight. He said, no, no, Prabhupada told the cook, like he's a young man. He said, this much rice, and two samosas, and this much that, and this much so many. So she was always having some difficulties, so. One day there was one devotee there who also worked in the kitchen named Smarhari. So she had this big fight with Smarhari and she ran out of the kitchen crying. And then she knew he's going to go to the temple president and she knew because she's a woman naturally she's going to get the raw end of the deal. She's going to get kicked out of her service. She went running to Bhagatji, who was Prabhupada's friend who lived just behind the temple. We were telling about him a little while ago. So Bhagatji said, oh Kishoriji, don't worry, I will go see Prabhupada, don't worry. So then he came back, he said, Kishori, Prabhupada wants to hear what you have to say. You know, he's very disappointed that this incident happened. He wants to hear your side of the story. You please come right now, he's sitting in the house. So when she heard that, then all of a sudden she began to think, Prabhupada wants to hear what I have to say. Then she began to think all the things she had to say, all the complaints she wanted to make. So oh, now Prabhupada's going to listen. Then she goes, this and that, and this and that. And they got to Prabhupada's house, and Bhagatji opened the door, and she went inside, and Bhagatji ran away. And she came inside the house, and Prabhupada wasn't there. And she was sitting there and sitting there, and the longer she sat there, then she began to feel herself getting smaller. And smaller, and she began to think how foolish, if I start complaining about that, that's foolish. And if I complain about this, that's foolish. And then she was shrinking and shrinking and shrinking. Till finally Prabhupada came in the room, and Prabhupada came and he sat at his desk, and he wouldn't even look at her. He was looking at the picture on the wall or anywhere else. He said, so, Kishoriji, what is the problem? And he wouldn't even look at her, and she was, for the first time in her life, because she never stops talking, she couldn't speak. And Prabhupada still looking at the picture on the wall, he said, Kishoriji, what is the matter? And she was speechless. And then Prabhupada shook his head, he said, Kishoriji, unless you become humble, there's no way you can make it in Krishna consciousness. Kishoriji, unless you become humble, There's no way you can make it in Krishna consciousness. Then he quoted this verse, Trinadapi Suni Chanataropi Sushna Amani Namanadina Kirtani Asadahari. So then she just offered her obeisances and left without saying any word to Prabhupada. But because he said that verse, she immediately went to Delhi. She had somebody tattoo that verse around her neck. Now she runs a boutique in downtown Paris somewhere. She's French, so she, in France, in Paris, she has this boutique or some type of gift shop or cloth shop, something like that, gift, you know. And she said that at least once or twice a day she has to explain this verse to someone. Because people always, what's that around you? Oh, it's just some chant. Oh, what does it mean? Oh, it's just some chant, you know. Most of the time she can brush them off, but at least once or twice a day somebody, no, what does it mean? What is it? Oh, it's just a Sanskrit, it's a mantra. No, but what is the meaning? What is the meaning? Once or twice a day she has to explain the meaning of this verse. She tattooed it on her neck. Now, even in her boutique in downtown Paris, once or twice a day she has to explain the full meaning of this verse. So anyway, I'm going to thank all of you for being so humble. The whole time I was thinking, how are we going to do this? We have 800 people. Constantly I was making suggestions. Actually, my motive, I'm trying to serve and make, as Maharaj was telling our friend, you know, he was thinking, you should be happy and enjoy. So I was thinking, they should be happy and enjoy in this holy dham. But somehow Maharaj, he knew better how to make you happy and enjoy. So I was always making some suggestions. How are we going to get 800 people to go here? How are we going to somehow or other? But anyway, because you were all so humble and tolerant and all of the things of this verse, I want to thank you very, very much that this yatra was very, very successful and very, very pleasing and very, very wonderful and very, very ecstatic. And now we've come to the end. And actually that's why I don't leave Vrindavan. It's too painful to leave. I couldn't face going to the airport one more time. Getting in the taxi is too painful. So I just, I can't leave, so I stay. It's too hard. So I know what you're feeling, because I'm afraid to go. So, but actually, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Mahaprabhu, he finally gave, Jagannanda was bothering him so many times, finally Mahaprabhu gave him permission to go. He said, you go there, you stay for some time with Sanatana Goswami. And when you go to Braj, he said, you will see many things you won't understand. You will see the people doing so many things you won't understand. But don't criticize and don't associate. He said, don't criticize the Brajavasis and don't associate too closely with them. You can't understand. And then you should return. Because if you stay in Vrindavan, then you will forget. As I was saying, familiarity breeds contempt. You will forget what is Vrindavan. There's maybe 70, 80,000 residents of Vrindavan, maybe 1,000, if even that many, they're actually feeling that this is Vrindavan. The rest of us, we all forgot. We're just engaged in politics and this and that and fighting and so many things. We forgot what is Vrindavan. 1,000, they're actually the devotee of this Vrindavan. Remember. So you should not stay. You will just forget. And if you go away, then you will always remember in your heart, oh, I went to such a nice place, Vrindavan. It was so wonderful there. When can I go again? I visited such a nice place, Vrindavan. When can I go again? It was so nice in Vrindavan. When can I go again? Then you will always remember Vrindavan. And if you're always remembering Vrindavan, then you will always live in Vrindavan. So now it is time to go away. You should go away. Because then you will actually stay in Vrindavan. You will always remember Vrindavan. And this has been my humble service here for the last so many years, is to make sure that nobody forgets Vrindavan.
Because I'm totally useless. People always come and ask me, what is your service, Prabhu? I say, eating, sleeping, chanting, and dancing. There's nothing else I know how to do. So I'm totally useless and fallen. But Srila Rupa Goswami, he's written one very nice verse. Because I still have some hope anyway. That's why I stay in, I'm hopeless. I can't make it anywhere else. I'm a hopeless basket case, so I stay here. I'm afraid to go anywhere else. I can't. I'll fall into Maya. If I go to your Bombay, with so many nice things and air conditioners and sense gratification and so many things, I'll just fall into Maya. So I'm basket case. I have to stay here. But I have hope. Rupa Goswami has given one nice verse. He says, Dinabandhu iti namate smaram yarvindra patito hamutsahe bhakta vatsalataya tvai shrute mamakam hridayam ashrukam pate. Dinabandhu iti namate smaram. I'm just remembering your name as Dinabandhu. Dinabandhu iti namate smaram yadavendra patito hamuse. Oh Yadavendra, I'm just remembering your name, Dinabandhu, and remembering that name, utsahe, I'm feeling some utsaha, some encouragement. Because I'm very deep, patito, pati. Yadavendra patitoham utsahe. I am very patit, fallen. And your name is Dinabandhu, your friend of those who are fallen. So by remembering this name, Dinabandhu iti namate smaram yadavendra patitoham, I am very deen. I am also fallen, patitoham utsahe. Like, but by hearing this name, remembering this name, Dinabandhu, that you are the friend of those who are fallen, then I feel some encouragement. There's some hope. You're Dinabandhu. Bhakta vatsalataya tvai srute. And hearing about your bhakta vatsalness, bhakta vatsalataya tvai srute. You are bhakta vatsal. You are very kind to your devotees. Very loving to your devotees. More than kind, this bhakta vatsal. Vatsal, we know, we're discussing this vatsal. This motherly, fatherly affection is more than just affection or friendliness. It is very, very sweet, sweet type of affection. Bhakta vatsal. That type of sweetness and kindness that we remember our father and mother, that bhakta vasalataya tvayishu, and remembering that quality of yours, mamakam hridayam ashrukam pate. My heart is quivering in ecstasy. Dinabandhu iti namate smaram yadavendra patitoham utsahe bhakta vasalataya tvayishu te mamakam hridayam ashrukam pate. So again, I want to thank you all, and I am begging that you all, because I have no qualification, I have no bhakti, I have no devotion, I have no sadhana, especially after these days, they woke me up at 6 o'clock this morning. No, nothing. Just only by the best wishes of the devotees I'm going on. So you please give me all your best wishes and blessings. I'm sure that if the Vaishnavas will bless me, then somehow or other I will, maybe Krishna will be, Dinabandhu will be kind upon me. I will be able to make some advancement in Krishna consciousness and perform some practical service for Srila Prabhupada. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
It is the deep aspiration of all Gaudiya Vaishnavas throughout our great history to worship the land of Vrindavan. Even great devotees like Srila Swarup Damodara in the glorification of Sri Vrindavan Dham, through their constant remembrance of Sri Siddhartha Krishna and their transcendental pastimes here. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas, it was his aspiration to come to Vrindavan. However, by his own sweet will, through his mother's mouth, he was ordered to go to Jagannath Puri, which is none different than Vrindavan. Sachi Mata said to Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu that Lord Jagannath, the Lord of Vrindavan, is living in Puri, so you please go there. But he sent his most confidential and divinely empowered representatives, Sri Rupa Goswami and Sri Sanatana Goswami, to come to Vrindavan to establish this as the headquarters for Gaudiya Vaishnava, to erect temples, to write books, and to distribute the message of Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada came to Vrindavan with the same mission as the six Goswamis, to write books, to establish temples, to personify proper Vaishnava behavior, to reveal Vrindavan to the whole world, and to send the message of Gauranga Mahaprabhu throughout the world. Srila Prabhupada lived here 8 years in his little rooms in Radha Damodara, which we have so fortunately been able to visit. Srila Prabhupada pondered, meditated, and prepared to give all of us the pure, unadulterated message of Srimad Bhagavatam. We have come to Vrindavan on this yatra to enrich our spirit of devotion. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he explained, Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sajjaka Bolai Sravanadi Tulicheti Kodiye Udoi, that there is pure love of God in the heart of every living being, but due to our negligence we have forgotten where it is. We have been so disrespectful to the great gift within our heart of love of God that we have forgotten that it even exists. And when we are reminded, we cannot find it. It is covered by so many weeds, so much dirt and so much dust. But by the mercy of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Radha and Krishna in one form, sent Srila Prabhupada into our lives to teach us how to clean our hearts, how to directly experience the treasure of prema bhakti that is our very eternal nature. Vrindavan is revealed to the heart that is humble with sincere devotion. It was Srila Prabhupada's desire that devotees come to Vrindavan for spiritual nourishment and then to go into the world with revived spiritual strength to live and to preach by the instructions of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And that was our purpose for coming, to develop deeper relationships amongst the devotees is very important. And what a wonderful opportunity this is. Developing deeper relationships with the devotees doesn't come by doing business together. It comes by hearing and chanting and serving together. Approximately 800 of us have come. We're living together. We're eating together. We're bathing together. We're chanting together, dancing together, sitting together, all crowded in so many little temples, hearing Harikatha. We're traveling in buses together, walking together. 24 hours a day, practically, we are just with each other. There's nowhere else to go. There's no one else to turn to. But Krishna is constantly in the center. These types of relationships are most essential. It is a matter of survival. We cannot survive on the path of bhakti unless we have deep personal relationships with Vaishnavas on the basis of hearing, chanting, and humble service. Maya is very strong. Even great spiritual leaders, if they do not have deep, loving relationships with other Vaishnavas on the basis of hearing, chanting, and devotional service, Maya will steal away their intelligence in due course of time. It is said in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita that even very advanced devotees, it is essential to have loving association with devotees on the basis of hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. And what is our position? We should never consider ourselves to be very advanced devotees. We should consider ourselves to be most desperately in need of the association of devotees. When you think you're advanced, then the natural consequence of that illusion is you think that I can make it on my own. If I offend Vaishnavas, it won't hurt me. I am so big and so strong. I've chanted so many rounds. I know so many slokas. I've impressed so many people. If we think we're advanced, we may also think that to sit in the class, to come to so many kirtans, that's for the neophytes. I don't have to do that. And as far as making deep friendships with other Vaishnavas, there's too much at stake for me to become too close to anyone. I have to protect my unique position. This is what happens when we become proud. But if we're actually humble, real humility doesn't simply mean I am most fallen in putting pieces of straw in your mouth and rolling in the ground. That is an expression of humility. But if an expression doesn't have a genuine form in the heart, it is not real. In a very practical point of view, real humility is this, that I am so fallen. I am so desperately in need of mercy in my life. I am so insignificant before the almighty power of Maya. I must have the association of devotees. I cannot give up that association. This is the way the Paramahamsas think. And this is the way every devotee must be. I must chant my rounds each day. I must hear the Bhagavat each day. I must serve Vaishnavas. I must develop a fortress of caring, loving association around me to survive.
Otherwise,
like a leaf that is separated from a tree, can be swept away in any direction by the wind whenever it comes. But when we are connected to the tree, let any wind come, let any tornado come, cyclone, and we remain fixed. And what is that tree? In Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is so nicely described, the tree of the devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Krishna Das Kaviraj describes the trunk, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the roots, Madhava Mrupuri, and so many branches, the branch of Nityananda Prabhu, the branch of Advaita Charya Prabhu, and so many sub-branches and sub-branches. And if we, and Prabhupada says, one of the branches of the tree of the of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And if we are always connected to the association, connection is not just a superficial idea of carrying a life membership card. If Maya comes and you say, I'm a life member, I paid my dues, you cannot touch me, that will not work. Or if Maya comes and you, what I have done in the past, the tree of Krishna consciousness is the association of the devotees, the present devotees and the previous acharyas. If we have strong relationship on the basis of sravanam, kirtanam, vishnu smaranam, and the nine processes of devotional service, then Maya cannot take us away. That is the desperate need. And this is the basis of real humility. To really deeply understand the need we have for the mercy of Vaishnavas. To never think we are great. This morning we were discussing Ghanashyam. He was great. But what was his greatness? That he felt himself so small. Most glorious example, Dinananda Prabhu was describing Srila Prabhupada. The greatest acharya, empowered to do what none of the other acharyas has ever done. What is the majestic power of the mercy that has come through him to this world? Cannot be calculated, has never been seen. But yet he's washing the pots of the most simple fallen souls of the Malecha and Yavana culture. Spoon feeding them with every aspect of Krishna consciousness. This is how you should go to the toilet. Don't be a Malecha. This is how you should eat. Don't be a Malecha. This is how you should sleep. This is how you should wear your clothes. This is how you should take your bath. Sometimes we see our mothers with their little babies teaching them how to do these things. Srila Prabhupada was Paramahamsa Sannyasi teaching spiritual infant babies how to bathe, how to eat, how to sleep, how to go to the bathroom properly, how to perfect their lives by hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. This type of humility is the guiding light of our life. So we have come to Vrindavan because we want to perfect our human existence by developing love of God and sharing that love with others. We have gone to many very, very sacred places,
during this Yatra. We visited the seven temples of the Goswamis. Shri Radha Madan Mohan, Radha Govinda, Radha Shyam Sundar, Radha Damodar. We saw Radha Giridhari, Radha Gokulananda, Radha Ramani, Radha Gopina. We've gone to Bamsi Vat, the place of Krishna's Rasa-lila. And we've gone to Imli Tal and Sringar Vat. We have gone to Davanala Kund and Kaliya Ghat. We've gone to Akura Ghat and Bhatra, where the Brahmins' wives brought their offerings to Krishna. We've heard the wonderful pastimes and seen the extraordinary sanctity of those places. And we'd offer prayers in each place for our spiritual purification. We went to Bandiravan and saw the Bandiravat tree, the Bamsivat tree where Sridhama is waiting, the well that Krishna made with his flute for his cowherd boyfriend. We went to Rava, the very birthplace of Srimati Radharani. And we went to Brahmandagat, where Krishna ate the dirt and showed the universe to his mother. The place where Srila Prabhupada personally and blissfully bathed in the Jamuna with all of his devotees. We went to Gokul Mahavan, the transcendental birthplace of Krishna Balaram, the place where Lord Sri Krishna performed his most beautiful childhood pastimes of killing Putana, killing Trinavarta, killing Satatasura, learning to crawl, learning to walk, stealing the butter from the house of the gopis, where he broke the twin Arjuna trees after stealing butter from Mother Yashoda, breaking the pots. We went to Mathura, to Lord Sri Krishna's very birthplace, and we had a wonderful, wonderful Ratha Yatra through the streets of Mathura with over 2,000 devotees from all over the world. In the presence of Lord Jagannath, everyone blissfully chanting the holy name. Performed the Govardhan Parikrama, 16 and a half hours it took us to dance around that mountain. Usually it takes about 4 or 5 hours.
I've never done a lesson 7.
7. 16 and a half hours. We visited so many holy places. Shamananda Prabhu has become an official cowherd boy. Proven his qualifications. Shamananda Das Gopa. Today is Gopastami. Performing a drama for our pleasure. Wonderful Govardhan Parikrama. And the next day we went to so many of the holy places of Sri Radha Kund. We celebrated Srila Prabhupada's disappearance day at the very site of his Pushpa Samadhi, where he entered into his...
Real Samadhi.
I'm sorry, yes. his original real samadhi. The place where Srila Prabhupada personally departed from this world to enter into the eternal lila of Goloka Vrindavan. What a benediction that is. And we went through the wonderful, wonderful transcendental experience of Varsana, Nandanam. And the last 2 days we've been in Vrindavan. Such wonderful association. We've all been through it together. And it is our great hope that this yatra does not end, but that throughout your lives, 800 of you, you can all share your memories of each place, of each katha, of each kirtan, of each experience and realization, of the prasad that you took, of the baths in the holy places. We have so much to talk about. There's no need to gossip. There's no need to talk politics. We have so many wonderful, wonderful experiences to exchange with one another about this yatra. Keep it alive in your heart forever. I'll tell you a secret about in my own life. After I had to leave Vrindavan, I went to New Vrindavan. And because I was always talking about Vrindavan, the reaction is, the leader said, "We'll never let you go to Vrindavan again because we have no faith you'll ever come back." So they sent me on a mountain in the wilderness, in the forest, and told me that you stay here and you never leave for the rest of your life. You just worship those deities. But the deities' name were Radha Vrindavanath. I worship those deities, but I can tell you, every day I had a regulation. Before I would eat, I would only take prasad once a day. Before I would eat and before I would take rest at night, I would spend about 15 minutes just meditating on the places of Vrindavan and the deities of Vrindavan, because I didn't want those memories to fade in my consciousness. I wanted them always to be fresh and clear. There was no one who had ever been there that I could speak to about. So last year we went to Mayapur. Earlier this year we went to Jagannath Puri. Within 1 year we had gone to the three holiest dhams. We went to Sri Mayapur Dham. We visited the nine islands of Navadvip, as well as Ekachakra, Ramakeli, Kanai Natashala, Shrikanda, so many other wonderful places. We roamed to all the holy places of Jagannath Puri and Vrindavan. All within 1 year, we have so much to talk about. We have so much in common with each other. This is something very special and very sacred. Keep it alive in each other's hearts. Don't let each other forget these experiences. Don't let each other forget these holy places. Don't allow any of each other to forget the kirtans, the kathas, the jokes of Dinabandhu Prabhu. This is satsang. So tonight we are bringing this yatra to an official conclusion with some parting words. If we are grateful for what Krishna gives us, he gives us more.
If we are not grateful, then he will not reciprocate. A grateful heart naturally attracts mercy. Even in our human life, if you give something to someone and they are grateful, you want to give them everything more. If they are ungrateful, you think, why did I give it to him? Why did I give to her? What is the use? Krishna is a person. He has given us causeless mercy. We have no this. We have no qualification. Nothing to deserve it. But it is given causelessly by Krishna, only because Srila Prabhupada and his devotees have somehow or other felt compassion to us. Krishna's causeless mercy has come through him. If we are grateful for that causeless mercy, and to be grateful is not just an unconscious thing that automatically takes place within your mind. It is the expression of our hearts to willingly thank Krishna, to willingly thank the Vaishnavas, to willingly express and meditate on how merciful the Lord is. I'm sure everyone has had some troubles, some thorns in your feet, some coughs. Tonight's lecture is like a coughing cure time. So many people are coughing. And each night I hear more and more people joining this cure time. Being confirmed. So some inconveniences have been. But inconveniences on the path of purifying our hearts and associating with Vaishnavas, we should be grateful even for those inconveniences. They are insignificant compared to the benediction we have received. So let us really, on this concluding night, let us really ponder within our hearts how grateful we should be for the mercy we have received. Beg Krishna for that gratitude. Because that will attract Krishna to give us more and more and more. And Srila Prabhupada taught, what is the greatest way to show your gratitude to Krishna? That what he gives you, you share it with others. That is preaching. Vijay Prabhu, what a grateful devotee. Srila Prabhupada gave him his mercy, and for the past 20-some years he's been giving Srila Prabhupada's books with such humble devotion, constantly. My gratitude to you, Prabhupada, is what you have given me. Let me share it with others. That will please you most. First we should share it amongst the devotees. And then together we should share it with the world. If we cannot share it with each other, how will we share it with the world? It's the Sankirtan movement. Sankirtan means together we do. First we share our gratitude with each other. By humility, by service, by hearing, by chanting, by giving gifts, by the kind behavior of a Vaishnava toward each other. And then with the spirit we create by that satsang, we want to charm the whole world with Srila Prabhupada and Krishna's mercy. That is how we can really show our gratitude. Vrindavan Dham is such a charming place. It is the eternal abode of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. For the past 11 days, we have been given entrance into this eternal goal. And it is my humble prayer to Sri Sri Radha Gopinath that that humble abode of Vrindavan may ever manifest within your hearts. And that as the servant of the servant of the servant of Srila Prabhupada and our acharyas, we can share that most resplendent mercy with everyone we come in contact with in our lives. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki. Shri Vrindavan Dham ki. Shri Prabhu's birthday. But I'd like to say that the devotees who have to organize this yatra, I have a list, but it will take almost as long as my lecture to read the names. But everyone, these people work very, very hard to make this yatra possible. Without their efforts, we would all be back in Bombay. I'd like, briefly, after each name, please express your gratitude by saying Hari Bol. Radha Krishna Prabhu. Of course, his family, Harika and Narahari. Sanat Kumar Prabhu. Shamananda Prabhu. Abhiram Prabhu, Sivar Prabhu, Panchatattva Prabhu, Sintanath Prabhu, Giri Govardhan Prabhu, Gauranga Prabhu, Murugada Prabhu, Virat Prabhu, Amitesha Prabhu, Krishnanam Prabhu, Dayachandra Prabhu, Sudhakram Prabhu, Radhesham Prabhu, Jayadev Prabhu, Krishna Chandra Prabhu, Prabhunandan Prabhu, Mahabhutinath Prabhu, and all the Matajis who are the wives of these Prabhu. They're not written down here. I think they'll have to, for these Matajis who have done so much leading their husbands in their service, we should say very loudly. And so many other devotees. I'm sorry if I didn't mention names, but these are some of the devotees who work very, very hard to make this yatra possible. We do not want this yatra to end. In the spiritual life, the end is only a new beginning. So let us always remember Vrindavan. And let us come. constantly keep that remembrance alive through the loving association of devotees and the constant chanting of the Holy.